9:00, we will call the meeting to order the Citizens Commission. I'd like to see my fellow commissioners, and let the record reflect that they're all present, and including Ms. Gardner from the Auditor's Office, and of course, Attorney Floyd from the AG's Office, our whole team, and commissioners. On the website was some information, there is some information, and one set of the information are the minutes from our last meeting. So if you would take a moment to peruse those, and then we would ask that we could take action on it, if there are any corrections or additions that we need to make.
Move for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any additions? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nays? Motion carries. Thank you. A couple of things regarding the agenda. We are respecting the request of Attorney Scott Trotter, who has been tremendous in aiding us with information since our inception. And he and I talked, I guess, one day last week, and certainly we invited him to come and share with us after having heard from the association last time. But before he comes, the association, through its president, Larry Jaglin, had sent us some information following up on what Commissioner Berry had requested. I just want to be sure that all the commissioners have that. It was on the website, and it talks about the tenure of all of the prosecuting attorneys. If you don't have that, don't have it. Ms. Gardner, could you please just make us a copy? I think it's very helpful. And who and where, right? We just make both those. Thank you. In the meanwhile, while she's making those copies, let us ask Attorney Crowder if he would come and welcome again. And the floor is yours for remarks, comments, and or presentation.
Is this one right to push the button?
Little green light, come on.
There we go.
Okay.
Good to see you again. A little less formal feeling right here than it was over there at the U of A CAMAC campus, I must say. That's probably a good thing. Thank you for letting me come. You know, from the past times I appeared before you, that I generally believe in improving salaries that may have been held somewhat depressed over time in order to try to attract the best people we can to serve in different government positions, and particularly those who are elected. And I've tried to dig in a little bit on this subject of prosecuting attorney salaries. I might have a little something helpful to add compared to what you've already heard. And I want to give a disclaimer up front, which is I'm not, my law practice is not dependent on having a good relationship with the prosecuting attorneys in the state. I know some of them, and I have known Mr. Jaglin for, he and I are contemporaries, really about the same age, and kind of got started in government circles about the same time and so on. But my law practice has not been, nor will it be, dependent on any criminal law practice or other issues like that. But I have been an observer of the prosecuting attorney system, just in the sense of government and the way government works. And I do believe that his presentation, which I reviewed, goes a long way towards helping educate all of us about the very substantial responsibilities that the prosecuting attorneys have in the state. And, I mean, the list is a long list, and it gets into diverse areas as well. And I, you know, was happy to be reminded of all that by reading Mr. Jegley's presentation. And I'd like to not really repeat what he said on that subject, except maybe just to emphasize a few things that stood out at me. And in addition to the long list of subject areas where prosecuting attorneys have major responsibilities, it does appear that they have a huge caseload. And they also supervise lots of other attorneys and staff in the pursuit of all the duties that they have. This is really important to me, they have to exercise discretion and good judgment in a variety of ways in their day-to-day substantial duties. And we all know from dealing with different organizations and bureaucracies and so on, that you tend to get paid more when you have a lot of decision-making authority that's very sensitive and discretion in making those decisions. In other words, your day in, day out is not just a rote, do the same thing every day. And what occurs to me, and we all know this just by watching some of the television series about prosecutors, you know, is, you know, they have to decide whether to bring charges. They have to decide whether to do it through a direct indictment or through impaneling a grand jury. If it's a grand jury, they have to direct and make presentations before the grand jury. They then have to determine which charges to bring. They have to determine whether to negotiate pleas, some of which might be unpopular. They have to negotiate pleas in order to perhaps catch the worst criminal involved in a particular enterprise by striking pleas with the lesser ones who will then give testimony. They have to present the case. They have to try the case. Sometimes they're having to direct much younger attorneys to be prepared for the case. They have to decide such weighty decisions as whether and when to seek the death penalty. They have to advise many other elements of the criminal justice system. And so in the exercise of all that, there's a great deal of heavy responsibility and decision making. And so I just wanted to emphasize those things with respect to my view of the role of the prosecuting attorneys in our state. I also wanted to give you just a little bit of a presentation on what I think is the meaning of in the legal field and the judicial field, the meaning of model rules of conduct and standards to be met in different elements of the legal community. And the legal community is just full of model standards. And I'm going to show you some having to do with prosecuting attorneys in a minute. But like, you know, you've got model jury instructions. I've got them, the volume in there in my law office, you know, and it's where experts have come together for Arkansas to determine the law in many, many different areas, not just criminal, but civil. And they come up with model jury instructions, and they hope that the judges in the state will use those model jury instructions because they think they're good ones and ones that will be upheld on appeal if there's an appeal. They're model rules of professional conduct for attorneys. And their rules of evidence and their constant changes in the law where all these experts get together and they do a restatement of the law to try to advance the law and keep it modern with our times, like the restatement of torts, things like that. And so I have here something that, you know, is published by the National District Attorneys Association. And you can find it on their website, and it's their most current edition of what's called National Prosecution Standards. And it's the third edition, and after each chapter, it has a commentary. Most legal publications always have a commentary after they tell you what they think the standards or the rules, you know, ought to be. So let me just pass it around, and I just wanted to refer to it a little bit if I could.
Anybody else want to? Okay. I've got two different versions of this, and I need to make sure that I'm keeping the one that you all have.
Did you get that?
Yes. Okay, you got it.
These standards are super long, and I didn't copy them all, but I'll tell you what I did do. I just copied the table of contents just so you can get an idea of the scope of these standards that have been published. And, you know, obviously this National District Attorneys Association would like to see these followed as much as possible around the country with regard to the different prosecuting attorneys. And, you know, in each state, they may or may not follow these recommendations to the T, and there'll be difference among states, obviously. But they do have one, you know, fairly short section having to do with compensation, and so I thought I'd just, you know, bring that up with you. And you'll see there that I wrote C pages 8 through 9 and 10. And so if you did flip on back, you need to get past the table of contents. It has its own pagination, and you need to keep going until you get to the body of it towards the back there, 8, 9, and 10. And I've highlighted in yellow the parts about the compensation. And without going over every word, that is where you have a proposed national standard. To have the prosecuting attorney salaries track the trial judge salaries in the state. And I know that that's what when you're talking about tracking judges in the state, we're talking about circuit judges, and of course you all recently visited those and you've reset them. Mr. Jegley, you know, comment on that, and he encouraged you to consider tracking the circuit judge salaries. And to me, when you consider, you know, what is your method to set the salaries for prosecuting attorneys, that is at least probably the best method to use. I'm sure there would be other ones, but it certainly appears to be a recognized method of trying to set salaries for prosecuting attorneys. If you could flip over to page 10, I just wanted to read a couple of sentences there, beginning in the yellow highlight. Provisions of an adequate salary is an absolute necessity if the office of prosecutor is to function in maximum efficiency. And an adequate salary is essential for attracting capable candidates to the position of prosecutor. we all are familiar with that standard, and the next paragraph is, the salary provided to the prosecutor should it be at least that of the salary of the judge of general trial jurisdiction in the district of the prosecutor. And then it goes on to cite to an older advisory commission on criminal justice that proposed that standard, and it's been in place for a long time since then. And so I, if I were you, if I were in your shoes, I would feel comfortable at least, you know, going with that standard, or, you know, your own sort of possible variation of it, but using that as the base standard. I note that standard would have you at 100% of the circuit judge salary, and so I was just sort of intrigued to see that Mr. Jegley did come in and he represented or proposed, you know, 95% of the salary of the circuit judges. I think that you could probably reasonably conclude that Mr. Jegley's proposal is a reasonable one, okay? And whether you want to increase it that much in the first year of adjusting salaries, that's something where you have to obviously exercise some discretion. I would point out that, you know, in his proposal, he demonstrated that before you increase the circuit judge salaries this time around, that their salary was at $140,372, and the prosecuting attorneys are at $123,162, and so that's 87.7%. And it's my understanding that over the years there was sort of a goal of having the prosecuting attorneys at say 90 to 95%, but I think our system of appropriation of salaries for prosecuting attorneys sort of lagged behind that over the years. But if you were to look at your new circuit judge salary level of $160,000 and you took 87.7% of that, you know, that was the percentage that we saw, you know, as of last year, that would take the prosecuting attorney salaries up to $140,320, you know, versus their current $123,162. And I would just suggest to you that would be the very bare minimum that you might consider increasing the salary by, but I don't really think it's sufficient or really in keeping with what would be a preferred model standard of going higher on the percentage. And I wouldn't really recommend going higher but for several things that have already been presented to you and which I've touched on. And one is just the remarkable substantial duties that these prosecuting attorneys have, and the pressure that they have, the caseload that they have, and the important decisions that they make in their discretionary decision making every day on the job. And number two is that we want to try to get good prosecuting attorneys in office, and we don't want them to think of it as just a stepping stone of potentially going on to serve as a circuit judge where they get a better retirement benefit, to be frank about it. So, you know, I don't think that what Mr. Jegley has proposed is in any way unreasonable. It can be justified, you know, before this commission, it can be justified in the public, it can be justified from an objective evaluation standpoint. And I'll leave it to you guys to think about, do you want to go to 95% now? I think it's reasonable to do that. But at the very minimum, let's try to go ahead and improve their salaries in a way that I think is overdue. Well, that's pretty much what I wanted to try to introduce into the record here. If there any way you want to have any discussion about it or questions, I'd be happy to discuss with you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carter. Do we have the information regarding tenure? Because I noticed on your page 10, at your last paragraph that you highlighted, that it kind of referred to that. So I'd like the commissioners to have time to kind of look at that, and then I would open the floor, for any questions of Mr. Carter from any of the commissioners. You can see on page 2, I believe, is the outline of the tenure of all of the prosecutors thus far in the state. Any questions for Mr. Carter? Well, it looks like, Professor, you did an excellent job.
Okay, well, thank you. I hope that at least that one document that I had to bring to you was, you know, was something that was helpful that you didn't already have, and trying to put it in the proper context of model standards that each state would try to aspire to.
Very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
You bet.
And the effort that went into this as well. I'll just share this kind of byline Mr. Carter mentioned. He said, "Before I start delving into this, I just want to be sure that you all would like to hear me, because it's a lot of work." And obviously, we can see that, and we appreciate it again.
Thank you very much.
All right, and let us move now to discussions about all of the data that we have. And we will open the floor for discussion. I think we have quite a bit of information that is relevant, and the floor is open. Commissioner Graves.
I'll do it. I came in this morning thinking 92%, 93% would be acceptable, but, and then raised them over time up to 100%, which is where I think they need to be of the circuit judge. But I am going to throw out the number of 95% at 152,000 as my recommendation.
Commissioner Tipton, does that equal at least 11%, since that was kind of our standard last time with...
Yes.
Would that kind of fall under that criteria?
Yeah, I had notes here. I guess if we keyed it where they're at today at 88%, that would take them to 141,000, which is about a 15% raise on their current 123,000 salary. So 152 would be in excess of that.
I would like to comment, perhaps didn't give enough information around that. When we look at other jurisdictions, and they're 100% is where I'm basing my recommendation, we have really let our prosecuting attorneys fall under an acceptable percentage. So I'm not disagreeing with Mr. Tipton's number. That was certainly one of my numbers over here at 90% was 144. But that's where my recommendation is at 95 and 152.
Other input, commissioners?
That recommendation was a motion. I second.
Yes, sir.
Can we have, I mean, let's have some discussion.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Any other discussion from any of the commissioners?
I don't know if I necessarily have any discussion. I guess I came in this morning after hearing the discussion from Mr. Jakely last week and hearing Mr. Trotter this morning, thinking somewhere in the 90% of the circuit court judge salary, which would be $144,000 salary, which would be an approximate 17% increase from where they're at today. So.
I also came in thinking 90%, excuse me. Also came in today thinking somewhere in the 90% range, based on the second page of the information that Mr. Jekyll gave us last time, where since the 70s, the salary of the prosecutors has fallen anywhere from 4% to 17% less than what the circuit judges are making. And 10% less falls kind of right in the middle of that. No magic to it, it just kind of seems to be right in the middle of where it has been said in the past.
I know that Commissioner Hill and Commissioner James, the idea of here,
to hear a wonderful presentation last week, but we welcome any comments from you all if you have any at this time. Right, hearing none. Yes, sir.
Are you closing the discussion?
No, no, we're still open. Yes, sir.
If I may, I don't know this answer, and I don't necessarily expect anyone else on here to either. I don't have the information from our original proposal with the constitutional officers and the judiciary. Can someone remind me what salary we set for the district court judge?
District court judge.
$144,000.
Okay, thanks.
Well, having heard the wonderful presentations, my initial response was somewhere around 90%. Just to be real candid with you, and as chair, I try to hold back from taking any position as such until after hearing from the commissioners. But that would be, if we kept with the 11% at least, and this is 17% higher, that would at least give them a significant, 90% would be a significant increase. Maybe not 95%, but it would give them a significant increase at this time. That's just one man's opinion. All right, so any further comments?
Yeah, I'd like to comment to support the motion for 95%. I'm not anywhere trying to deal with the opinions and recommendations of you and other 90%. I would like to say this, and I don't mean to be indulging myself on this, but the people of Arkansas, like these ladies and gentlemen sitting here from the Prosecutors Association, that are all prosecutors, are like me, they got a privilege granted to them by the people of Arkansas to practice law here in the state. And unlike some
Mr.
of my
Banks,
federal
is your mic on?
No.
Thanks.
Unlike some of my federal brethren, I don't deal with them, these ladies and gentlemen, very much at all. But I do know this, I don't believe they're here bargaining with us. I know that they've given careful and considerate thought as to the increase based upon historical skipping, I think it was, as well as the increase in what the responsibilities and duties of these men and women have become, especially just in the last 15 years. I was a deputy prosecutor in my early days. I learned something about it then. I know how that office works. And I say this from a personal perspective. When I was a very young lawyer, I was called upon as a deputy prosecutor in a case to argue for a death penalty. And let me tell you something. That's just part of what these folks face every day. My friend, who I've only tried one case against, Robert Dietrich, that I was teasing with last year, he's got 30 plus years on this list of tenure. He sent me a, and I've tried one lawsuit against him, but in that one lawsuit, I garnered as much respect for what he has to do day in and day out as any prosecutor I've dealt with in my career. And he sent me an email this morning, a copy of one, I think, saying that he couldn't be here. But
But he described to me, since I'm a lawyer, the nature of what the prosecution of the case was today in Arkansas County, and just good decorum prevents me from even discussing the facts and circumstances of it. And the point I'm making is it takes a special person to devote their career to protecting the citizens of the state. I mean that. And on a practical matter, here's what I would say to you. You can rest assured, everybody knows that I've been at the higher range of these salaries, and here I am again. And the reason is because our duty under that amendment is to adjust. You can expect every one of you, including the prosecutor, judges, that I will return to the same sharp pencil frugality that I normally do. But we're adjusting, and they need an adjustment, and it needs to be fair and reasonable, and I think that it's not unreasonable what they've asked. I'm not going to quibble with y'all or in any way try to force 95% on you. I just hope you will think about that, because I could go on for a long time about the sacrifices that they make seriously to do their duties and responsibilities. I could go on for a long time about the things like drug court they don't get paid for, representing county form courts, just on and on and on. It's almost a thankless, I don't see how they do it. And it takes somebody special to do it. So I don't think they're going to be back here real soon. I know, I don't think Brother Yeager will be, or any of them will be back here real soon asking for percentage increase such as what they've asked for. But I think they deserve, they're entitled to it, and I hope all of you will consider that carefully. And I thank you for letting me speak.
Any further discussion?
I would like to make one more observation. As I remember, Mr. Jagley, didn't years ago it was 100%? Has it ever been 100% in Arkansas?
Not 100%, it was 96%+.
Okay, 96%. So if you had been getting the same 96% of the salary, then I could look at 140 that the circuit judge is making now, take 96% of that, and then take an increase. And I haven't done that number, but that's really what I'm basing my recommendation on, is they have continued to take decreases as a percentage of the judge's salaries from 96 down to 87%. Okay, thank you, Mr. Taker.
If I could, since you gave me the floor, I always want to take it, but.
You recognize that you would come up here and do that.
We lost four long tenured prosecuting attorneys this past election cycle. On the sheet that y'all were handed out, the asterisks, there are 8 brand new, for lack of a better word, elected prosecutors in the state of Arkansas. That's a substantial number. 2 of them took retirement after. One after 32 years, Chris Raft in White County. The other was Ron Kincaid of North Arkansas, Bull Shoals and Harrison. One took early retirement disability. One had an offer he couldn't refuse from Walmart out of those 8. The other 4 prosecutors ran for circuit judge. And I'd just like to point out, this is a pattern that is repeating itself as far as folks finding a career in the law, as I mentioned last time. 2 chief deputies, one out of Lonoke County, the other out of Faulkner County, in addition to the 4 elected prosecutors who ran for and were elected circuit judge. 2 chief deputies, potentially future elected prosecutors, ran for and were elected circuit judge. And I was not able to bring that out until I was thinking about it last night, and I wanted to take the opportunity to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I believe that there's a motion on the floor and a second. We've had much discussion, and so the vote that we're about to take is, if I understand it, is for the 95% salary increase. All those in favor of the motion that's been seconded, which is the 95% increase, let it be known by saying aye.
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 I think that I heard a majority.
Okay, I'm an aye.
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 I think that I heard a majority, and motion carries, right? And we will do it unanimously.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. You are recognized.
Being a lawyer, you said a 95% increase.
Turn your mic on, please.
Yeah. You said a 95% increase. Did you mean to set it at 95% of the circuit judge salary?
That was the request.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, right, yes.
Just hearing those words, I wanted to make sure that was clear and everyone's back. Thank you.
State the dollar amount.
So the proposal is 95% of the circuit judge's salary, which is $160,000, which would make their salaries $152,000.
Clear as mud. Sorry, excuse me. You want to, and let me recognize Commissioner Berry first, and then we'll recognize.
She just brought up the issue that I was doing.
Okay. Attorney Fuller.
The issue that is not addressed is the fact that there are 25 Division A and three Division Bs, and you may want to consider something different with regard to that on what the salary would be. And I believe they have a current formula that a Division B receives 85% of what a Division A receives.
Thank you, Judge Fuller. So.
We have somebody that I think wants to speak.
What the prosecutors informed me of is that formula is not in the law and is something that just comes up at appropriation time each other. So if you want to do that, you need to make it clear in your motion on how the salaries will be set.
And so as I understand it, there are two divisions and we have three prosecuting attorneys, is that correct, in Division B, and that percentage should be 85% of the circuit judge. Oh, are they, are the prosecuting attorneys 85% of the prosecuting attorneys? Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you.
Is that in the form of?
Well, I'm going to let Chuck come back and I'll second his, but I.
I'll move it, I'll second it for sure.
And I knew there was a little wrinkle in this and I'd forgotten about it, so thanks for reminding us.
Maybe we can get all this stuff codified before long through the legislature. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify on both the Division A and B, I know we're rationalizing that with a percentage of, but the motion is in the form of a dollar amount in terms of a salary going forward, right?
Right, okay. So what would the 85% of the one?
I'm gonna see if my little cell phone calculator can do that. 129,200, someone else check me, my math is below here.
Sure.
$129,200 would be 85% of the 152. Okay.
I so moved.
It's been moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor of the. I'm sorry, not unready.
I just got a question about what makes somebody a Division B prosecutor. They also allow to practice, have a private practice.
Yes,
that's correct. And I mean, if the committee wishes to hear, I've done 7 years as each committee.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear that.
Yes, sir.
My name is Tom Tango, I'm a prosecuting attorney.
You can use the mic.
You recognize.
And also, just so the committee's aware, whether to continue the divisions A and B, I think it's been referred to interim study. So that may
may not be the case after this, but I was elected as prosecutor in 2000, took office in 2001, as a Division B prosecutor. I was that way for 7 years. All the deputies in my district were and still are part-time. They have practice outside of prosecuting. I use that term loosely because I would say on average, each of them spend between probably 35 and 55 hours a week prosecuting. We have, in my district, we have four counties, very rural area.
Not to cut you off, but
sure.
If I may, just to understand, are there only certain districts that qualify to have a Division B?
Not at this time, but that's one of the things I think you may see after this interim study is maybe a population limitation or something like that. Because what happens in my district is it's four counties. It starts basically at the city of Menifee and goes to the Oklahoma line. There's six courthouses, but there's only 77,000 people in that area. There's just not any attorneys. And I know other areas of the state and southeast Arkansas and some other mountainous areas, there's just not a population base to do it. All offices for the prosecutor's office are located in private law offices in my district. There's no space at any of the courthouses. There's no services. When I was elected, I didn't have any equipment. We used equipment from my law office to run the prosecutor's office. And to me, it's a matter of really service. In my community, I live in a town of 2,000 people. There's no one there to do wills. There's no one there to do contracts. It's not, the prosecutors that are out there as a Division B aren't doing all this big civil litigation. It's more about having someone there for the community as anything. And also to support the office. I can't see, until something drastically changes within my district, I can't see us being able to have full-time people and full-time staff because all the funds are through the counties. And there's just not, in my area, there's not tax base for it. And so we have to supplement through offices. The line item for staff in one of my counties are, it's split in half, so but it's 7,000 for secretarial staff for one office. Those types of limitations, if the attorney has an office of practicing, that takes some of the burden off the county. Doesn't really affect the state. Doesn't really affect how I have approached my job. Would either be an A or B, and my sheriffs would come and endorse that fact. I'm available 24/7. I expect my deputies to be available 24/7. If they've got a civil case coming up and there's a murder in their district, I expect them to go out to it. I expect them to approach their job. It's to have priority. To me, originally it was envisioned to attract attorneys to rural areas to operate in this manner. And I think, the time may have come to say, hey, and I think the legislature recently addressed that, hey, if you're in a district over 100,000 population, you probably need to be an A. But in some of these rural areas, I don't think you're going to get the type of individual you want as prosecutor unless you allow that and you pay them adequately. And I'd be happy to answer any questions about that.
Mary, you have a question?
I don't. I appreciate it.
I do, and it may be more for Ms. Ford, but does the amendment read that it's our purview to set the salary for the Division B? Does it distinguish between the two?
This is prosecuting attorneys.
Okay. I mean, I'm good with what we did, I just want to make sure that...
I don't think what you did would be contrary to the intent of the Constitution and the heart of the statute adding the prosecutor.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I would consider a different percentage, but, and I, the difficulty is that unknown quantity and that they can practice law and the other ones cannot. So I think for parity, but I would consider 85% of the 60, I'd consider a little higher percentage of the judges, 85% of the 60 would put them at 136, which is certainly a little better than 129.2. And that's sort of a simple formula, in that they are also a percentage of the circuit judge rather than as a percentage of the prosecuting attorney. And I come from a rural area, so I feel your pain. But I do think the fact that they can practice law does give them additional income.
Any other comments?
I'm in favor of keeping it at 85% of what the Division A prosecutors are making.
I think that's a logical
way to do it, and if it changes as a result of the interim study, we can revisit it.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Well, I think there's already a motion in a second.
It's already it's in the motion, yeah.
Floor.
Yeah.
Let's do it for clarity's sake. Okay, so the number specifically is...
Right. What was 85% of the prosecuting attorneys, which would be 85% of the 152, which is, I believe, 1292.
Yeah. Okay. And there's a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nays? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Thank you. I would like for us to consider our future meetings, not at this time, but just put it on your radar.
Should we not set a date for public comment while we're here also?
Yes, ma'am. Right.
Okay.
We're together. And I don't think the public comment needs to be 30 days, but I'm thinking for future meetings as well. So for public comment, I hope you brought your calendars. What would be that time that we would avail ourselves to hear from the public beside that of the website?
Do we have clarification on, I think it seemed like May the, well, can we get some clarification from Ms. Ford on the dates? That
30 days concludes on Saturday, May the 16th, and my recommendation is if you conclude your decision on May 15th, we're going the day before instead of waiting for the Monday. So my recommendation is that you attempt to conclude your work on May 15th, Friday, May 15th.
Just to clarify. Okay, so the public comment period would begin when?
It would begin after you get those publications. You have to publish it.
And that does not have to be 30 days.
No, it's 1 to 45 days
for public. Okay. So if we set the public comment for the 13th or the 14th, we could still do our business, since the law states that once the public comment session is over, we can go back to our final recommendation on the same day.
Yes.
So would the 13th or the 14th? 14th?
When are we going to publish?
I'm sorry?
When are we going to do the publication?
We'll do that immediately. Yes, we'll do that immediately.
Well, I'm just wondering, it might take time to get it done. I remember last time we weren't able to get it done, the publication done as quickly as we thought we could, just because of dealing with the paper. Things like that.
It's going on the website immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. And we think the 14th can be the day.
The day for public comment and the day for our final report.
Okay. I cannot attend on the Thursday, the 14th or the 15th.
Okay.
I'm okay on the 14th.
14th, okay for everybody?
13th's better for me, if I do the 14th.
Is the 13th okay with you?
I'm okay on the 13th.
Yes.
Okay. 13th. Let's make it May the 13th.
Can I just clarify? So we made these recommendations today, and they'll be posted to the website immediately, and we'll attempt to run them in a paper publication. But so that's going to allow effectively for about 2 weeks of public comment, is that right? And then we'll hear that public comment on the 13th, and then?
Take action for our final report on that same day.
Okay.
All right, so further than that, as we look out for other dates, look around the fourth quarter is where I was trying to lead us up to, that for future dates or other adjustments as our responsibility continues. Is there any further information or application from any of the commissioners? If not, may I entertain a motion for adjournment?
Move.
Second. All those in favor, aye? We are adjourned. Thank you. 9:00 on the 13th.
You said I'm going to be gone.
Oh, that's our marketing, that you carry that with you and leave it somewhere. They give us hundreds of them to leave everywhere.